The lesson that I've selected this morning has to do with Thanksgiving. It has to do with barriers to Thanksgiving. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." The hardest arithmetic to master is that which enables us to count our blessings. And these are just some things that I picked up. Gratitude unlocks the fullness of life. It turns what we have into enough and more. It turns denial into acceptance, chaos into order, confusion into clarity. It turns problems into gifts, failures into success, the unexpected into perfect timing, and the faith into important events. Gratitude makes sense of our past, brings peace for today, and creates a vision for tomorrow. Revenge is profitable, but gratitude is expensive. I like that one. I want to present a few verses here about giving of thanks. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you." Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." We are commanded to give thanks. Salvation is through the Son of God. We should be thankful for that. We should be thankful for God's patience with us. We should be thankful for all of the essential things of life, and we should also be thankful for the finer things of life. I talked to the brother this morning about in the Bible class this morning, I made mention of how when we first become a Christian, it's a fairly easy thing to understand. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. It's very simple to understand. But then you go on to the hardest part about being a Christian is what comes after baptism. It's going through learning about the things that God wants you to do in your life. And doing those things that follow baptism and going through the things that Christians go through, you'll go through some great and easy times, but you also go through some real hard times. And the scriptures we just read didn't say, "Hey, you, thank God for all the good things that happened to you." It says, "Thank God for everything." You know, I played football in high school. And I was pretty good. And I was being scouted by some colleges. And I hurt my neck when I was a senior. And I didn't go to college and I didn't play football. For the longest time, that seemed like my destined path. I was good at it. I enjoyed it. I was coachable. The coaches liked me. And I had to go through this, this little time where I sort of was upset because I didn't get to go. But I joined the Navy. I got married to Julie. I had two good-looking children. I had three children. I had three beautiful children. And I became a Christian. I thank God that I hurt my neck. See, I didn't thank God at the time. I didn't say, "Lord, thank you for letting this happen." We're just not built to do that, especially at a young age. And even at an older age, when we become Christians, like me and the brother was talking about, some people like myself become Christians later in life. And you go through things and you start to question your faith, you start to question this, and then sometime later, weeks, months, maybe even years, you look back on this thing that happened to you, and guess what? It was the very thing that was supposed to happen in your life. You see, we have to be thankful for all things in our lives. All things. God has done and continues to do and will do so much for man. But man often fails to thank his God. So let's take a look at some barriers to thanksgiving. The first barrier is faultlessness. Dr. Paul Reed tells the true story of a man whose job was to transport people who had been committed to a mental hospital. After delivering a patient one day, he was walking back to his car when he heard a voice call out, "Hey, you!" It came from one of the upper floors. So looking up, the man called back, "Are you speaking to me?" "Yes, I am," came the reply. "I want to ask you a question. Have you ever thanked God that you have a healthy mind?" To say the least, the driver was stunned. He said, "I suddenly realized that I have been bringing people to this facility for some 15 years, yet I had never once thanked God for having a good mind." I want to take a look at four different psalms. So if you will, I don't have these scriptures. I won't have them on the PowerPoint. I'd like to go and just read them. The 30th psalm. "I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave, thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O sweet thanks of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. To the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever." That's a wonderful psalm. And the 103rd psalm, verses 1 through 5. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle." And then over to the 105th Psalm, verses 1 through 3. "So give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing songs unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name, let the heart of him rejoice that seeks the Lord." Doesn't that remind you of the song we just sang, "Praise him, praise him"? And then the 106th Psalm, verses 1 and 2. "Praise ye the Lord, so give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise?" So some psalms from the Old Testament that gives us some examples of how we should praise God and be thankful unto him. We often thank God for the big things in life, but sometimes we overlook the small things. I didn't sleep well last night. I never sleep well when there's a full moon. I don't know why. I just don't. Maybe it's because it's lighter outside. But in the event that I have a good night's sleep, I thank the Lord. And that new mama that's looking at me right there, I bet she thanks God she gets a good night's sleep, don't she? My wife didn't sleep for 8 years. And so last night when she was over there snoring, I was going, I just thank God that my wife had a good night's sleep. I didn't, though. We should thank God for the sunshine. Yesterday was a gorgeous day. We had a birthday party for Haley. And it was beautiful. It's a beautiful day. And we all prayed that there'd be sunshine. And we all talked about how we didn't ask the Lord to not make it too hot, because we were all sweating out there. But it didn't rain. And we were very thankful for that. Some people don't have Sufi, so I should be thankful that I have an overabundance of Sufi. Some people don't have poets in their houses. You know, some people don't have houses. We have a lot to be thankful for. And I've got a list of things. And obviously, it's not all inclusive. But just things this morning that we can think about, that we can be thankful for. The Bibles that we have. I told you this morning, the Bible that I use, it, I call it my preaching Bible. And you know how when you get used to a Bible, you can just turn and you can just almost instinctively know where it's at. Well, I'm using the new Bible that I bought Julie, so I don't. I'm thankful I have this Bible. Don't get me wrong, but I do miss my other Bible. But we have song books. We have pews to sit in. We have this building. We have each other. We have our family. We have friends. We're blessed today to see some friends we haven't seen in a while. And, you know, hopefully no one's too hungry. Hopefully we all have something to eat. We're thankful for our clothing and the cars that we drive and the jobs that we have, the means of income that we have. Most importantly, the life that we live and the salvation is through God. We should be thankful for all of those things. We should be thankful for everything. And of course, you know, again, these are all good things. But some of you, some of us, may have some things going on in our lives that doesn't necessarily generate happiness in our lives. Be thankful for that as well. Because we all are products of the sum of the things that happen to us in our lives. That's what makes us who we are. There's nothing like enjoying a glass of water after you're thirsty. You understand where I'm going with that? When you're really, really about to perish for something to drink, when you finally get that glass of water, there's nothing like it. So the troubles that we endure in our lives make us thankful for not having trouble in our lives. God has indeed given us so much. We need to keep God in our thoughts. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. What does that mean? For a long time, I didn't understand what it means to pray always. I would ask myself, how can I pray always? And the way you pray always is to constantly, in your mind, have God there. And, of course, I still don't pray continuously. I don't do it. I'm growing, trying to do that. But as I get up in the morning, I want to strike my mind with, Lord, thank you for letting me rise today. And then I pray for that day and the things that are going to happen in that day, for a good day, and the safe journey that my children are going to make and me and my wife are going to make. And then I'll think about Ronnie Nichols, and I'll think about, you know, all these things. And I say, Lord, please don't let me forget nobody. But I always do, and I always say, Lord, just take care of everyone I know. But it's that, having God in your mind, God in your thoughts, and understanding that God has to go everywhere with you. He has to go everywhere with you. So to avoid being thoughtless, it's almost as if you need to, it's not going overboard, it's the way it should be. We should carry God with us everywhere we go and in everything we do. Let us learn to be truly thankful for the things we take for granted. Another barrier to thanksgiving is faithlessness. Spontaneous thanksgiving is a result of those who have genuine faith in God. And my brother-in-law is the world's best at saying, I'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing. He always says, Lord willing. And you know, people of the world look at that and say, why does he always say that? But I know why he says that. Because we're not going to do anything unless it's in God's plan. Okay? Nothing good is going to happen to us unless, you know, we include God. Because there's nothing good about us. We can't have righteousness from ourselves. We have to get that from God. Spontaneous thanksgiving. Stopping at a traffic light and coming to a good stop. And somebody goes right by you. You know, you think, man, I just went through there. Bam, I got healed. That's God. You know? Spontaneous thanksgiving. You understand why I say spontaneous? Just all of a sudden thanking God for and understanding that where you are, what you're doing, is because God wants you to be there. It is the very thing that should happen. We must have faith. We must believe that it is God who provides for us. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now, of course, the reward that we hope for is the heavenly reward. Okay? But we can't be a Christian and have faith in that heavenly reward if we don't realize that God goes with us on a daily basis. And He's with us. And He's there with, and He's there to help us and to provide for us. I can't tell you how many times in my adult life that I've run short of money and then something happens. Somebody brings some groceries by. Somebody does this. Somebody does that. Somebody gives a gift of money to us. We didn't ask for it. They didn't know we were short this month, but it still came. I'm telling you, it's God that does that. It has to be God that's taking care of me and my family, and I'm so thankful for that. Now, these days, we're a little better off than we used to be, and that doesn't, you know, happen like it did before because, you know, we were better off than we were. But God brought me to this point through those hard times like that. And it's not just money, it's everything. It's health, it's life. It's the safety of my children. The blessing that we have, three healthy children, the blessing that we have, or do we have, you know, alive parents that are so beneficial and helpful to us and that are members of the body of Christ. There's just so much to be thankful for. And there's so much to be thankful for in regards to our faith. And I really believe that unless you have a strong faith in God, it can't produce the correct amount of thankfulness. And it will provide a barrier to that. We look at Romans chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. People that don't believe God are responsible for the world, all the physical things of the world, that's not responsible for us. They can't be thankful. Who are they going to thank? You think about living a life where you don't believe in God. And you look around you and say, all this is just, it just happens. It's just spontaneous. When I walk out that door, if I get hit by a bus, it just happens. If I walk out that door and I don't get hit by a bus, it's good luck. We walk out that door, we thank the Lord that we don't get hit by that bus. Because we know that the hand of God guides so many things in life. Poor faith equals a poor response. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Poor faith equals a poor response. And as you grow, you know, when you first become a Christian, and you haven't really seen the power of God work through your life, you don't really understand that. Just like I said, waking up in the morning is a gift from God. And I see the sister shaking her head. And the sister is a little older than I am. And she probably has that more on her mind, or maybe than I do, because she is a little older. But even the smallest of the children try their best to recognize that every moment that we have in life is a gift from God. We need to be thankful for it. If all good things come from God and we are not thankful, do we really believe that all good things are from God? James 2:18, may a man say, thou hast faith and I have works, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Ted Malone, whose radio show came on early in the morning, quoted the Idaho Shepherd, who wrote, will you, on your broadcast, strike the note 8? I'm a shepherder, way out here on a ranch, far away from a piano. The only comfort I have is my old violin. It's all out of tune. You strike 8 so that I might get it in tune. Malone honored the request. Later he received a thank you note from the distant shepherd saying, now I'm in tune. Through repentance and prayer, we can be restored to our former relationship and be in tune once again. Let us not become out of tune with God because of our lack of faith. The next barrier to thanksgiving is discontentment. I like this right here. Too many suffer from the fake butt syndrome. Thanks, but what didn't you do? But why didn't you do this? Thanks, but why didn't I get this? Thanks, now what else you got? Sort of a selfish attitude. Being discontent. And I really believe that all of us can sort of be that, okay? Some people seem to be a little more prone to discontentment than others, just kind of not having anything, you know, not being really content with where they are. Before we can genuinely be thankful, we must develop contentment. Philippians 4, verses 11 to 12. Now that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content, and know both how to be abased, and know how to abound, everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 through 8, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Matthew Henry, he has a book called Word Points, and basically what it is, it's a daily devotional. He also sends out emails. If you're interested, go to find, look Word Points up. It's great. This is an excerpt from March 30th, 2007, but it's really March 30th. It's a, like I said, a daily devotional. Rejecting what we've come to know of God's will is so foolish. None of us would ever do it if we weren't deceived. But therein lies the power of sin. The devil is shrewd enough to make a slavery seem for the moment like it's better than what we have. It would help us if we paid more attention to the grace God has shown us. We need to be more consciously grateful to Him, meditating on the deep, genuine peace that can be found only within the boundaries of the gospel. Do these boundaries limit us? Yes, they do. But let's not lose touch with reality. What God is holding back from us is death. If we forget that fact, we have to find ourselves dissatisfied with what He has graciously provided us. I think that's a fantastic thought that this man wrote down. Do these boundaries limit us? Yes, they do limit us. What God is holding back from us is death. God's not holding back a good time. He's not trying to limit our life experience. He's holding back death. He's holding back hell. Yes, it does limit us. Absolutely it limits us. If we forget that fact, we're apt to find ourselves dissatisfied with what He has graciously provided us. We need to learn to be happy when we're abased, and we need to learn to be happy when we abound. So let us therefore be truly content and at peace through the gift of God, His Son Jesus. Selfishness says, why should I be thankful? I earned it myself. I deserve more than I receive. Why help others? They haven't helped me. That's selfish. Matthew 18, verses 23-25. Therefore, is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. And for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had, in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out, and found what of his fellow servant, which owed him 100 cents. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after they had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you, from your heart, forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. So a little perspective about that. The servant owed his master an enormous sum. Each talent equals 91 pounds. There are 16 ounces. And I'm not talking about British pounds. I mean weight. There are 16 ounces in a pound. He owed 10,000 talents, and when multiplied, equaled about $16 million. It took about 15 years at the time of labor to earn one talent. Thus, it would take 150,000 years of labor to pay his debt. His fellow servant owed him 100 denarii, which was the common day's wages. It would take about 100 days of labor to pay his debt. Not showing mercy to others indicates that we're not thankful for the mercy God has shown for us. Matthew 18:35 reads, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your heart forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. This is according to Scripture, obviously. But if someone has offered you, if you have offered someone and they come and say, brother, you have offered me, I'm sorry. I apologize. And you forgive them not. That's what it's talking about. Forgiving according to the Scripture. Failure to give thanks because of neglect is a sign of a lack of faith. Neglect being the next barrier to thanksgiving. It's also a sign of laziness. Consider the 10 lepers. Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And fell down on his face at his feet. Giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered, saying, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They're not found there, are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Nine lazy leopards. Leopards. They were most likely very thankful of the healing. Can you think about that? Leprosy is an awful, awful thing. I mean, it's terrible. And if you had leprosy, and then you were healed of that leprosy, you're going to be happy about it. You are going to be thankful for it. But they neglected to go to Christ and properly thank him. They were lazy. How often do Christians neglect to thank Jesus for their healing? Some say Jesus says I love him. He knows I'm thankful. How long would happiness last if you never told your spouse that you love her or him? What if you never said thank you? Well, I've been married 18 years. And I can tell you right now, it was probably 18 more years before I smiled again if I didn't thank my wife for the things she does for me. And if I didn't tell her I loved her, would eventually not love me. You know? And look at it. I'm the one that's got the catch here. I'm the lucky one, and I'm thankful for it. Well, don't you think that the Lord is the same way? Yeah, God knows our heart. He wants to hear us say it. He wants to hear us say it. He wants us to take that step, say, Lord, thank you. I appreciate it. He don't want us to be a lazy liver. The ultimate thank you. Obedience to God because of the sacrifice. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeyed the truth through the spirit and the unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abides forever. Glorify God because of his greatness. The 8th Psalm will read that. Actually, I think I have it in here. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hath set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and suckling hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heaven, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. The ultimate thank you to God is to live faithful so that we will see him in the hereafter. Revelation 2, verses 10 and 11. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried. And you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let it hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. In Africa, there's a fruit called the taste berry. It is so called because it changes a person's taste so that everything even tastes sweet and pleasant. Sour fruit, even if eaten several hours after the taste berry, becomes sweet and delicious. Just the truth. Thanksgiving is the taste berry of Christianity. When our hearts are filled with gratitude, nothing seems unpleasant or overbearing to us. Let us ever be mindful of God. Let us ever have continual praise and thanksgiving to God as we go through our daily life. The ultimate way to thank God is to be thankful unto Him. If you've never